Good morning and welcome to Spotlight 92. I'm your host, Malvin Massey. And of course, every Thursday we talk to the movers and shakers of the Memphis community, the people that are making things happen for your benefit and mine. Our guest today is an author. He is a minister, and a PhD as well. He is author of a new book. It's called 47 Tips to Reverse Your Diabetes. Yes, and that's... of course, in as Memphis has been known as one of the fattest cities in the world, we have a lot of people who have diabetes, and diet is a big part of what's causing that. Our guest is the visionary of the Kingdom Religion and has a PhD in religion and a PhD in counseling. He's a marriage and family specialist, certified family life educator, certified life coach, and a wellness specialist. And like I said before, an author of three books that are out now, one coming up in just a minute, in just a little while. But and we're going to talk to him about how to adjust your diet so that you don't have diabetes and possibly reverse it if you do have it. Dr. Timothy K. Moore, better known as Chef Timothy Moore.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Moore. 47 tips to reverse your diabetes. You're talking about reversing diabetes from somebody who has it. Is that possible?
Oh, yes. You know, the thing about diabetes is every ailment that we possibly have, most of them can be reversed. But with diabetes, I'm bringing from a personal experience how I reverse my own. And it just takes some baby steps because everybody's not going to change everything they're doing at one time. Got to realize we're creatures of habit. And by being a creature of habit, it takes baby steps. And when I give these tips, it's just small, simple, practical things that you never think about when you want to reverse your diabetes.
Okay, but yeah, the idea of reversing it. I mean, you know, when we think of a person with diabetes, and we're talking about they're going to be taking insulin for the rest of their life. My dad had diabetes, and he used to shoot himself in the stomach. I hate to see him do that.
But I was there. I can remember shooting myself in the stomach.
Did you have diabetes?
I had diabetes type 2, 360 pounds, taking 2 insulin shots a day, 2 tablets a day. Couldn't walk to the mailbox, out of breath, just upset. Couldn't figure out what was going wrong with me until I really learned about how diabetes really affects the system and how that with some sensible small changes in my lifestyle that diabetes could be reversed. And, you know, you hear people say it cannot be, but it can be. But everybody is not going to want to because we, like I said earlier, we're creatures of habit and we get used to certain things that we're not going to change.
Our bodies are programmed to heal themselves anyway.
Oh, yes.
And it just like when you get cut or anything else. So I would suppose that if you found the right triggers that were causing the diabetes and eliminated those triggers, that would make it go away.
Well, most of the triggers are lifestyle, food. It's basically everything that we do other than a little food and stress. Stress affects it some, but it's nothing like food. We're eating a fast food, fast food life of just junk food, processed food. Everything is quick and in a hurry. So the body has not enough time to metabolize it because we keep giving it junk. And after we get to a certain age, we stop eating. We stop exercising. And if you look at it today, 1 in 3 children that are born since 2000 will be a diabetic. 1 in 3. And that's 1 in 3 children now are obese. So our future is in trouble. Because we are talking about every child that's born is going to be a diabetic, or 1 in 3. So what are we going to do? We got to make some changes.
It's going to cause... To get on a Republican train of mind, train of thought, it's going to cost a lot of money, too, as these people start getting ill and the diabetes is going to keep them from being able to function properly and work a full schedule, 40 hours, whatever. The finances are not going to be where they can handle that diabetes or the medications and the hospital visits, and it's going to cost us, everybody.
Well, it's going to cost everybody. But the part that people are not really looking at when it comes to diabetes reversal or diabetes change, or let's say pre-prevention of diabetes, what's the actual cost? The average cost right now of a person with diabetes is $100,000. The average cost.
Over his lifetime.
Okay. Just a sensible. But watch this. There are 79 million pre-diabetics known. There's another 30 million diabetics, and there's another 15% don't even know they have it. So when you start looking at the cost of what diabetes is really going to be, it's a $360 billion industry now. And it's getting worse with 1 in 3 obese adults, 1 in 3 children obese, and 1 in 13 adults that we know that are obese and have diabetes. Everybody knows somebody with diabetic.
Is the obesity the cause of the diabetes?
It's one of the factors. But you don't have to be obese to have diabetes. Because there are people that are super small, in shape, but their lifestyle is not good. It's not, imagine for a second. Somebody runs 26 miles at the Boston Marathon. Perfect shape, you would think. Run 26 miles. Yeah. But what happens when that person goes home and a day later after he wins and die? Why did he die? When they do an autopsy, they find his arteries are still clogged because he couldn't get rid of all that grease and saturated fat that he ate.
Okay.
So when we exercise, it's great. But what are you eating? What the fuel is that you're putting in the body, like the right kind of fuel in the car? If you don't put the right in, you're going to get a problem.
Yeah. Well, that makes – you know, they always say everything that tastes good is bad for you. It's sort of – I guess that sort of seems like it when you think about having to change. When you say lifestyle change, you mean changing your diet completely.
Change your diet completely. But still, the good thing about it is by the what I advocate is and what's out here now is – there's good tasting food that you don't even realize it tastes that good. Everybody think it's just a salad. No, you have good tasting food, beans, greens, legumes, breads, pizzas. There's things you still can have. You just have it a different way. And your body is able to adapt to it.
Okay. Your story is amazing, for one. What you were telling me about in the pants that you showed me, you had a big problem.
I went from a 50 to waist to a 32.
Man.
Now, I went from a 360-pound guy to about a 180-pound guy. Went from a guy that couldn't walk literally from my front door to the mailbox. I used to walk with a black chair in my hand, sit at the mailbox to catch my breath. People thought I was waving. I wasn't waving. I was fanning myself because I was hot and tired. Then I would hate to go back up. Then I had to go back to the house, do the same thing. And if I had to go upstairs, I never went upstairs. I sent somebody for me because I was too big to go upstairs. Now I was out of breath. My cardiovascular system was just bad. It was just a lifestyle of eating junk.
And when you say junk, you're not talking about particularly just church's chicken and stuff like this.
Just junk processed food. It's not just churches and IHOP and all. It's just junk food, processed food, potato chips. If it was processed, it was junk. Now it's junk.
Yeah.
And I was in a hurry like everybody else. I go by the place, grab something, keep on going. But I kept going. And if you think about it, I can remember when I used to buy me a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Never forget this. And I could be driving 2-3 hours down the highway. And I could eat that whole bucket, the slaw, the gravy, the biscuits by myself. And you would think I'm full. I ate 10 pieces of chicken.
Yeah.
I could get to my meeting place where I'm going, and they have another meal. I'm still hungry because the body didn't recognize the nutrition part of it. It knew it was full, but that's why when you eat a nice salad, you eat about 3 or 4 bites of a salad, you're going to be full real fast because the body automatically realized, hey, this is nutrition.
And that's what it's looking for.
That's what it's looking for. It'll be full off of the other kind of food, but it's not going to be as full. You would think you'd be eating 10 pieces of chicken. I'd be about to pop. I wouldn't.
And it seems like it would kill you. Yes, you know, you kill your appetite too.
But it didn't. Because when I got to the next place, it's like going on a holiday eating habit. Like this past holiday, you go from one house to another house, another house. You would think you'd be full from the first house. Yeah. But you went to another house and you got some more. Other house, you got some more. Before you realize you done ate at 7, 8 people's house. Why your body ain't full? Because the body don't recognize it as being nutritious. It's a fooling food. But if you had salads after that one stop, you've been full.
The body's recognizing what it really needs as opposed to what you're feeding into
right.
That's amazing. If you just tuned in, by the way, this is Spotlight 92 with Doc, talking to Chef Timothy Moore, Dr. Timothy Moore. And his new book is 47 Tips to Reverse Your Diabetes. And as we know, as he said in his statistics, the diabetes is becoming an epidemic. There are 30 million known diabetics in the United States, with another 80 million pre-diabetics. One out of 13 individuals is diabetic, and every child born after the year 2000, one of three children will become diabetic in their lifetime. And a lot of it has to do with the diet. Most of it has to do with the diet, I suppose. It seems like to me your body, though, is using things, you know, if you're busy, you're active, kids are always busy and worrying the heck out of everybody and moving and going on. Seems like their bodies would burn the calories, burn the stuff up.
Well,
that they're putting in. But evidently, it's
if you're putting all fat in, it's fat. Think about it. Fat is fat. So if all you're putting is fat in your body, how's it going to burn it up? Everything we're eating is fast and fried. So it's fat. And these kids nowadays, even in school, you don't have any many exercise programs anymore. So all you're doing is going to school all day, you're going home, and you're watching TV, playing the computer, eating junk all day long. So that's why we got so much. This is an epidemic. That's why Memphis just got voted one of the biggest overweight city of the world. I mean, United States, you know. Something's wrong. I mean, we got to take an initiative to change this health thing.
You are a professional counselor. You talk to people all the time. I noticed that with all the information going out in the media and everywhere else and all the studies and everybody's saying what you're saying, that people need to pay attention to what they're doing, what they're eating and everything, I don't see a lot of change in the general population. How do you get people's attention? How do you make them understand, you know, what you're telling them?
The thing I run into all the time is, it ain't happened to me. So if it ain't happened to me, I ain't worrying about it. It's like one of my doctors always say, they go to him, he said, well, doc, I ain't had a heart attack yet. He said, what my signs going to be when I have a heart attack if I don't change my eating? He said, well, if you don't change your ways. He said, what's my sign? The guy asked the doctor, he said, well, death. Yeah. See, until something hit us, we don't take it serious. Yeah. We it's like the car. Our body has a sensor built in, like your automobile, that says service me. Something's wrong. But we get the headache. We get we break out in a rash. We get an upset stomach. Our eyes get blurry. We don't listen to the signals. And then all of a sudden we get it where we can't see or we're really hurting or we're really sick. Now we go and run to the doctor, but we automatically knew something was wrong. And when you're talking about the general public, you're right, it's a masses of information on the internet nowadays, but it ain't happened to me, so I'm not going to do it. I was the same way. One time running 100 miles an hour, seemed like. But until it hit me, I said, wait a minute, something's wrong here.
What was the trigger that made you decide to reverse your situation?
My trigger was I had some friends that died young, and I couldn't figure out why they could die so young and look so healthy. Looks were deceiving. And then when I got to talking to their parents and his wife, I found out real fast what had happened, heart disease. And with diabetes, it's a part of heart disease. And, you know, you think about it, you always hear people say they died of natural causes. You ever heard that?
Yes.
You don't die from natural causes as a young person. Something killed you. So to smooth it up, the world says, oh, he died at 45 of natural causes. No, something happened. But natural cause is the simple way to go say it's a heart attack. So if a heart attack is natural causes, I don't want to die that way.
Yeah. Something caused the heart attack.
Something caused the heart attack.
Yeah. Well, now you've gone total reverse from eating a bucket of chicken to a vegan diet.
It's totally plant-based. No, anything that walk, crawl, holler, swims, I don't eat it. I eat no meat,
no
dairy,
fish.
No fish, no dairy, no anything. And the reason is because it's animal. And one thing, too, is also that a lot of the meats and pesticides has pesticides in them. Even the fish are fed the same things, the cow, the chicken, the hogs all fed the same grains. There's no wild animals anymore. Most of them that we eating are pun-raised or raised in a barn. So nothing's outside, and even the river is contaminated. So you have to be very careful what you put in your body. Not saying you might not get sick eating it, but the probability somewhere is it's going to be proven. Dr. T. Colin Campbell, when he wrote the book, The Channel Study, he said cancer can be never exist. It don't have to exist, but it's what we're eating every day that's killing us, all these toxins and poisons.
Well, there's very little we can do about the toxins and poisons getting into the food, but like I was telling you about the health and fitness thing that I was getting into, part of what they suggest or part of the regimen is protein from animal fat or from animal products rather from meat. You know, they would say, you know, stay away from red meat and eat chicken, eat fish, and that kind of thing to get the nutrition value from them. But what you're saying is like the free radicals within these animals outweigh the benefits of getting the proteins from them.
Right, because most people don't realize 75% of all the vegetables that are grown in the world is for animals, not us. We only get 25%. 75% is animals. They getting all the vegetables. They put it in the feed so they can eat it. So if the animals are getting their protein from vegetables, why can't we? And have you ever heard anybody going to the hospital for a protein deficiency?
No.
You won't, because it's in your beans, your greens, and your nuts and your seeds. It's right there, plenty of protein. You're actually getting more protein.
Yeah, but it's hard. You know, I talked with a girl from PETA, came by, and we got to talking about, and PETA is opposed to doing anything that has to do with animals, period.
But, right.
And she mentioned, she said we shouldn't drink dairy products.
Right.
Which the nutrition charts and the government's nutrition chart has cheese and milk and so on and so forth. She said, no, we shouldn't be eating those animals things because those that milk, we shouldn't drink milk because that milk was made for baby cows and not for humans. And there's different value to the body. You said you don't drink.
No,
you don't
no dairy. No dairy. Milk, it's nothing in milk. You know, that little thing you see on TV where they got the mustache on, that's just commercialized. You know, they always say milk is good for the bone. Give it some more calcium. Well, why don't you get it from some kale and some greens? Saying you get more calcium from that than you get from a glass of milk. Because when they pasteurize that milk, there's nothing left in it. And people breaking their bones and going to school just as much drinking milk. It's not what you're believing anymore. So people thinking they need milk, they don't need it at all.
Well, that's going to wipe out a lot of eating cornflakes and stuff like that.
Well, they can still have cornflakes, but they can have with almond milk or rice milk. They can still have milk, make it out of nuts.
The almond milk. Yeah,
almond milk
that
and rice milk. You can have milk. It's still milk, but it's not a dairy. It's not a dairy milk.
Yeah. You're saying vegetables. We should get our protein and everything else we get from
vegetables. And seeds and nuts and grains, stuff like that. I know it's hard to believe, but until a person does it and tried, it's like try it for yourself. I always tell people, do something for about 14 days, watch the change, but it's going to be about 2 or 3 days. You're going to notice something real fast with your body because you're taking your body to another level. Because it's like, hey, you give me something different. Be amazed how your body will respond to it.
Well, and you also said the same thing that the physical therapist and everybody say. You have to make a lifestyle change. You have to make your mind, commit to your mind that, okay, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Right.
It's not something you just try it out and see if it works. If it works, you got to keep on doing it. So I guess you have to find ways. But when you stopped eating Kentucky Fried and got into veggies, how'd that Kentucky Fried tastes good. I mean, the stuff they put in there and everything.
I had to make a decision, but being a chef too, though, I learned how to cook dishes that is not chicken. But if I wanted to look like chicken, I can make it look like chicken. Don't taste almost like chicken. But remember, meat has no seasoning. So if you cook some chicken, it just tastes bland. So all the seasoning you add into it. And the only thing that enhances any recipe is salt, which salt is not in any food that I use because the average consumer needs 2,400 milligrams of salt a day, and you can get it from a lot of places. But we eat anywhere from 20 to 30,000 milligrams of salt a day. And we wonder why we're swelling, because we're eating so much salt. Salt enhances the taste buds, so we want more, and we want more. And now when I converted from the Kentucky Fried Chicken, because my hardest one was a hamburger, I'll be honest. I love a greasy hamburger. But I had to learn how to make it out of beans and make it more healthy for me and still make me a nice hamburger with the lettuce, tomatoes, and all the good trimmings on it. But it's healthier because I had to decide, do you want to get 50 or do you want to die?
Yeah.
You know, and you think about it. Every morning you're taking 2 shots in your stomach every morning. Every morning, and then every day you're taking 2 pills, and your doctor's telling you you're never going to get well. This is what you got to live with.
I'm
going to die like this? Well, nobody can come off diabetes medication. It's not designed to get you well. And he's right, or she was right. But when I made the lifestyle change, it's a lifestyle. And I still have the cakes and stuff, but I make them a different way without sugar. We make them with dates. You would not know. It tastes just as good. But it's control factor now.
And being a chef, I guess you figured out how to do that.
I figured out how to do it and teach you how to do it. In 15 minutes, you can have a nice meal, and the kids love it. The only reason kids won't eat vegetables because we tell them they don't taste good. And they listen to the parents. They don't taste good, so whatever you say, they don't want. But if you tell them they can't have something, they're going to eat it all up.
You got that right. Once again, if you just tuned in, this is Spotlight 92. We're talking to Chef Timothy K. Moore, Dr. Timothy K. Moore, and we're talking about his latest release, his book. It's called 47 Tips to Reverse Your Diabetes. And I've got a copy of it here. It is about changing your diet to help you get rid of diabetes, which I thought until now that you had to have it. If you got it once, you couldn't get rid of it, but you live in proof that you can get rid of it.
Remember, though, if you go back to those old habits, it can come back. It's like anything else. But the thing about it is, you don't have to be a diabetic to read the book. It's prevention. You know, we talked about it earlier. What these corporations want to save money, teach prevention to their healthcare, to their people in their jobs about prevention, about food. Save a lot of money. But if they don't, it's going to be a problem sooner or later because everybody's taking off because they're sick. And then you're talking about a mushrooming cost for medical care. Somebody going to get laid off or a corporation going to have to close because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
But if they do some preventive work, it's like if we do more maintenance on our car than we do to our body. So that's something wrong with that picture. And the most important asset you got is your body.
Yeah.
You'll rotate the tires, you'll get it washed, you'll vacuum it, you'll change the oil, you'll change everything. But when it comes to just your body, you neglect it.
Yeah. That's true. Now, you've got in the book, you've got recipes.
Yes.
And back here in the back section of it, section for notes and everything. Is this sort of like a guide?
It's just a guide.
To help people?
It's just a guide. There's a lot of guides. It's just another way to say, hey, I want to make some changes. And I can promise you that the small changes will make sense when they learn little simple techniques. You know, if you only take one or two ideas out the book, just one or two, you're going to find they're going to help you out because I've read a lot of books and I might not use everything in the book, but I took one or two ideas out of it and that's all I needed. And it was worth it.
Yeah. And water. One of the chapters, water is your best friend. Drink plenty of water every day. Be amazed at the benefits.
We don't drink water. People overlook water. They think it don't taste good. It's not supposed to taste like a soda.
Yeah, they're looking for that sugar.
Yeah. It's water. We don't flush our body out. Water is the most powerful force on the world. It will flush you out, move everything out of your body, but we won't drink it.
Yeah, and Mayor Bloomberg up in New York has fixed it now. Is trying to fix it so people can't get a supersized drink.
You know what? And I wrote an article on him about that other day. I commend that because when they first started the thing about smoking in restaurants, banning smoking in public buildings, you heard the same uproar. But what happened? It makes a difference. You don't smoke and you can go into a place and ain't got to worry about smoke. But if he's looking at the children, when one in three children are obese and they're drinking a 44 glurp has anywhere from 15 to 20 teaspoons of sugar. Mm. Now, you just imagine that for a minute. 20 teaspoons of sugar your child is drinking five times a day. So 100 teaspoons of sugar, the average kid puts 75 pounds of sugar in their body a year. That's a lot of sugar. So sugar is the new drug. Give me sugar from the time they wake up to the time they go to sleep. It's sugar. We got an epidemic on our hand. If we don't grab it, we're going to be in trouble. It's not going to be just diabetes. It's heart disease, high blood pressure. It's lupus. It's all kind of arthritis. We got to grab this thing for it to get out of hand. And it's out of hand. It's an epidemic right now.
We don't know how to eat. That's for sure. But and it's very hard to tell people not to eat, especially meat. I love that you said don't eat anything with a face on it.
But you know what? But I have people that, clients, that they still eat meat and not a problem. They lose weight and they feel great. Everybody's not going to do that. That's all right. But if you learn sensible, practical ways to incorporate, if you got your fish or your chicken or whatever, and you make some sensible meals with it that's not loaded with a lot of fat, then you can enjoy it.
It seems like me, when we were looking at the almonds that I was eating down there, and that's something that I got into when I lost my weight and everything, and I started eating almonds for protein.
Right.
And I never thought about it. There was fat in the almonds, but that's good fat.
But nobody realized there's still fat in it. And I'd rather have that fat than some kind of fat that's loaded with this fat. That's a good nutritious fat to have in your body.
Okay.
But there's a lot of bad fats out here. You'd be amazed what we eat all day long. And we don't think about it.
And when you say processed foods, are you talking about hot dogs?
Hot dogs, anything in a box. That all you got to do is heat it up and eat it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or stir it up. Processed hot dogs, these family dinners, anything that you process, anything you didn't make from scratch.
Yeah.
You had to go and make it. Somebody already made it. You just warm it up. That's processed. Because if you look at the ingredients, nobody reads the ingredients anymore. And when you start reading all those ingredients, it takes a thesaurus to break some of them words down.
Yeah.
Why is this word so complicated? Because they don't really know. If you Google that word, you'll be amazed what you're really eating.
Mm. Yeah, well, I know for a fact sugar and salt is in everything. And sugar is pretty much a base for like most of the cereals
that
Kellogg's produces.
Well, most of now is corn syrup. Most of the corn syrups and anything, they just tried to change the name from corn syrup to corn sugar, and they went to the FDA wouldn't let them do it because they said, hey, call it what it is. This is corn syrup. It's corn syrup. It's not corn sugar. They tried to change the terminology of it. It still gets us in trouble. Sugar is sugar. People think the body don't recognize it. Sugar is sugar. It knows it.
I had a pharmacist from Canada tell me one time that sugar was poison. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, she said, look it up. And I did, and sugar's poison. Enough sugar is just like cyanide.
It's poison. It's so addictive. I mean, you don't realize. I tell this story all the time. When I used to go to Krispy Kreme, it was funny. I would go for the office, but I'd get a dozen for them and a dozen for me. But they didn't know I had me a dozen, and I would pull over and eat my dozen before I got back to the office and drank my milk. I ate a whole dozen of donuts. Remember, the average consumer eats 760 donuts a year, each person.
Okay.
So when I got back to the office, they ate their six. I got the other six, so now I had 18 donuts. And I still wasn't full because it's the sugar. You want to get upset, make somebody mad, take their sweets away.
Yeah.
You would not like what you're going to see.
Well, it's amazing to me, though. Sugar and salt. There was just a thing just a few months ago when they were talking about the salt content in so much of our foods, so much processed foods and things like that. And I guess salt is probably what causes the biggest cause of heart problems.
Well, it's one of them. When you think about it, when you say something, more people look at the back of a pack. If they go home and look at it today, it'll say 800 milligrams of sodium. But what they didn't realize, they think that 800 milligrams is just for that package. It's per serving. So you got 800 milligrams for five servings. That's 4,000 milligrams of salt, the whole packet. We didn't see the per serving. All we saw was the 800.
800, yeah.
And if you ever go to the Olive Garden on Sunday, it's really fun, and watch all the ladies walk in with their shoes on, when they come out, they're under their arm. Their foot done swole. They ate all that sodium. Because the food's already salted. Then we put most salt on it.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there, your foot gets swole and swole, and you put your shoes. It's really funny watching them do it. I said, boy, why you got their shoes under their arm? Because their feet don't swell.
But we're addicted.
Oh, yes.
To salt.
We're addicted.
And so the way to get away from it is to change your lifestyle.
Change your lifestyle.
Do you use salt substitutes?
There's no such thing as a salt substitute. What I tell people all the time, if you want a salt taste, get some celery. Celery will give you a salt substitute. Just regular celery. Now take the celery leaves and let them dry. They'll be like, and you crumble it on your food like it's salt. There's no, salt is salt. It's like sugar, sugar.
Yeah.
Ain't no such thing. Ain't no good salt, no bad salt. It's just still salt.
Now, the book again, 47 Tips to Reverse Your Diabetes by Chef Timothy Moore. Where can people pick this up?
They can get it at Barnes & Noble. They can go to Amazon.com. They can go to my website at ChefTimothyMoore.com and get it. They can go to Lorwood Booksellers here, or they can go to Tennessee Baptist here in town and get it. It's around. It's around town, yes.
Yeah. And the website is
ChefTimothyMoore.com. They can get it there. And you know, go to the local stores and patronize them and get it and enjoy it, because it will make a difference in your life or somebody's life that you know.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, you got to scare me now.
Why are you scared? Like, what are you scared about?
Well, because I thought I was getting healthy. I thought I was making myself healthy, which I'm on the verge of.
You are.
But I'm not getting as healthy as I could.
We always got improvement. So, yeah. You know, I commend what you told me or what you've done. So you're doing good. You're making better steps. But if you hadn't never been doing anything, I'd be like, what are you going to do? Because we always wait for the boom to happen, till something hit us to make us change. Why not just change for whatever happened? That's why I talk about weight loss. I say, if you're 50 years old now and you're overweight, the older you get, the heavier that weight becomes. So if we can start losing it now, when you get 60 and 70 years old, that 10 to 20 pounds won't bother you. But the older you get, the weaker those some of those joints get, and that 10 pounds means a lot. And, you know, we're not 25 anymore. So when you're hitting 50, 60 years old, that weight loss takes a moment to get off. But if you change your lifestyle, the weight will come off.
Dr. Timothy Moore, Chef Timothy Moore's book is 47 Tips to Reverse Your Diabetes, and it's available around town. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you for inviting me.
And, yeah, think about lifestyle changes when you're doing this. And this has been Spotlight 92. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, you're back for more of the best in jazz. This is U92 FM.